built. The thing is that business is hard. Entrepreneurship is really hard, but it's simple, and we overcomplicate it way too much because we think it needs to be this massive thing since it's harder to do, but it really isn't. It's really simple.
Hi, and welcome to And I Quote, a podcast about the importance of building relationships. I am your host, Ann Boger, VP of Scaling at Coterie Insurance, and today we are joined by an incredibly special industry leader, Cassidy Arbelli. Cassidy hosts her own podcast called Unburden Your Business, is the owner of the Facebook group Female Insurance Agency Owners, and the founder of Agency by Design, a hybrid program that includes one-on-one consulting and digital programs on how to run a more efficient agency. Cassidy helps her clients focus on taking action to become an efficient CEO through building structure, processes to scale, and more. Welcome to And I Quote, Cassidy. It's an absolute honor to have you here with us.
Thank you. That sounds so good. I was wondering, I'm like, did I write that?
I don't know. It sounds like you've got it going on.
Sounds great. But yes, that's pretty much it.
Well, how did you get started?
So I initially, when I first thought about going into business for myself, I kind of knew that I was always going to do that. My parents were entrepreneurs, and I guess just subconsciously, like, it instilled in me the idea of working for myself and having more unlimited potential and being able to kind of do what you want when you want. And although in our family, we didn't technically find financial freedom, we were never really in a financial bind and things like that. So, like, we always had kind of what we needed and what we wanted. And my parents worked really hard for it, but I had that, like, instilled in me. And I decided to go to school for psychology. At first, it was because I had some things growing up in childhood that I was like, I want to become a psychologist so I can fix all my own psychological issues and then I can help others. And quickly learned that as much as I love the whole idea of psychology, which I think is really important, I loved business more. And I ended up getting my undergrad in psychology and then moving into graduate school for industrial and organizational psychology, which is really like bringing the psychology of business and why people do the things they do, but in a business sense, whether that's building a team, being a leader, why people purchase products, how to market and brand properly, all those different things. So when I had that love, I thought of opening my own consulting agency and doing business consulting. However, at the time, I had never had my own business. And so I had a path that took me a little bit of a different direction. But in the last 10 years, I've been able to build really successful businesses and multiple streams of income and really buy my own freedom when it came to time and finances, that I still had this burning passion to go back into the consulting because it's what I love. I could talk about business all day long. And like you were talking about, processes and different things, like, it's my favorite. And so I really thought about, okay, how do I do this? And what's the avenue and the vehicle I'm going to use to show up to really create impact, maybe on a smaller level? And because I was in the insurance industry, or I have been in the insurance industry for so long, I was like, it has to be here. I feel like there's a huge gap in really teaching business fundamentals and business skills more than there is an abundance of sales and marketing, right? And so I think that's really important because you can learn to market and you can learn to sell, but if you don't know how to run your business and how to be able to scale and how to buy back that time and freedom and all those things, you're going to then possibly fail. So that's kind of where it all came from.
Wow. So it sounds like you always knew you were going to be an entrepreneur, or that was a strong feeling, but how did you end up in insurance?
Yeah. So I'm here building this consulting business, which I did get clients and had them on retainer and was really, you know, starting to get momentum. But as any entrepreneur knows, there's money that needs to be invested. There's time, all these things. I had just had my first child and I was actually recruited by a State Farm recruiter from a corporate office who reached out to me and said, hey, would you ever be interested in doing insurance? And I was like, no. What are you talking about? And we had been insured with State Farm as long as I can remember. Like, when I got my driver's license, I went to my agent's office and got the policy, and all of our businesses were insured with State Farm. So we knew of State Farm and, you know, as clients. And so I went, I said, look, it never hurts to take the meeting. Let me find out what this is about. And I went and met with my current agent at the time. And I said, hey, can you give me like the behind the scenes? Like, what is this really about? And she was very transparent, showed me a lot of the things. And they were basically giving me a business turnkey for no money to be invested. And it just seemed like, why not? Let's just try this. It may not be the industry I dreamed about working in, but I really felt like I have to be a business owner and an entrepreneur before maybe I have the expertise and the authority to go and really consult for other businesses. And so that's kind of how it started. I didn't know how it was going to go. I felt like I had the tools, but when you finally get into it and you can really learn on experience and what this looks like, that's why today I feel like it's so effective of what I'm doing, because I can take the two, put them together, and really create the right learning platform and the right accountability and the processes to really be effective, but also share those real life experiences and the things that didn't work and the things that do work and where to kind of put, you know, all your chips in. I'm from Vegas, so of course I'm going to use that analogy, but like, where do you place all your chips on the bet and ensure that there's a return more than just trying a million things and it being a lot harder? So,
yeah. Wow. And it sounds like that agent who kind of let you look under the hood, she was giving you sort of a little free coaching right there in that moment, which is so interesting to think about how you got started and now what you're doing for others. I just love how like reinforcing that is, especially as women in the industry, you know, how to make more women leaders and have agencies that are run and operated by women is like exciting to me to see. What really excites you about the work you're doing now?
Oh, that's a loaded question. At first it was the excitement of just building something new. As an entrepreneur and someone who really loves business, like it's kind of like a game, right? Or a puzzle piece. And you've really got to figure out how to put this puzzle piece together to get things working efficiently. And then all of a sudden you're automating some things and things are happening without you having to work too hard or, you know, hiring a team and building this thing out. And then it became the excitement of the potential. When we validated that this was a need and that people wanted it and then they were getting results from it, it was like, whoa, hold on, wait a second. Like, I knew this was something that was needed because of my own experience. But as soon as I saw it working for others, the potential suddenly went 10x. And now I think that's what excites me, is the volume of impact and the deep impact that can happen and seeing how it can become a movement. And just all the things that I'm creating coming down the pipeline in the next year, which I didn't even think about doing a year ago. Also, too, just by listening to the audience, what do they need? What do they want? What are they asking for? But just this potential of what it can be. And then just really having the certainty within myself and the belief that if I keep going and I don't give up, that it's going to get there. Like, it's inevitable. We just got to keep going and it'll get there. And it's getting there faster than I ever thought it was going to.
No, that's amazing. So it sounds like your ideal audience member or the people you're really targeting to serve is that, is it fair to say it's either a woman-owned agency now or an agent who's looking to branch out on her own?
Yeah. So right now, very, very niche down in female insurance agency owners. So they are business owners of their own agency. They're women owned. Doesn't matter if they're women led necessarily. But I do find most of them are majority. Even the male agency owners have women led teams usually.
Can you talk a little bit about that relationship? Because I can imagine being an owner of a business and feeling a little bit alone on an island with a lot of decisions resting on my own shoulders. And I'm curious how you sort of build a bridge with your clients.
So for me, at first, I really had to look back, which was a little hard for me because I was so beyond that point when I really started thinking about doing this that I had to go back and kind of relive what I went through in the beginning of just being a woman in a male-dominated industry, completely new industry, had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I laugh, and I had just had my second child 3 weeks before I opened our agency. So, I mean, I am the typical mom with like the baby in the carrier trying to figure out how to put people on hold. I had no idea. You know, and just feeling alone. And yes, I reached out to other people in the community that were doing what I was doing. Half of them didn't want to talk to me. Half of them couldn't even tell me how they were doing so well. Most of them that I found out eventually weren't doing as well as I thought they were doing. Right. And so all of these things came up, and looking outside of our industry to learn how to do different things, going back to my roots and my education of business, going back to the experience I had and working in my parents' business or other things that I was doing or I had done. And yeah, it was a really lonely time. It was so much that I had to put on myself, which at the end of the day, we are responsible for everything that we do. The actions we take, the things that we think, the things that we get into, nobody else is going to come save us. However, if there are mentors and coaches and consultants and places that you can go, even if it's a Facebook group, just to feel safe to ask questions. And obviously 10 years ago, technology was different. Now we have all these things, right? So my goal was to go back and think to myself, like, what was I feeling at this time? What was I needing? What was missing? What could have helped me propel faster if I had had this? And then I just started creating some things. And then as I started creating, really testing the market, asking questions, not being afraid to survey and to say, hey, you know, have access to this, go through it, let me know what you think, making tweaks here and there, and I'm still making tweaks.
Can you talk a little bit about the role of social media? You've talked about your Facebook group a little, but it sounds like connecting with your audience and building that safe place to start the conversation is potentially a key strategy. I'm wondering if you just can talk a little bit about that and what that's meant for you in your business.
Absolutely. So I always say, like, if I didn't have a digital business now, I would get rid of social media, because there's so many things that, you know, come with it that are not always a positive thing. However, for business owners, we have the privilege to be able to tap into the masses of people in the world, wherever they are, for free, and make connections and build relationships, even virtually. And I think now, especially after COVID, like, it's normal, where before it was very weird to hop on a call with somebody virtually. Like, that social media has so many amazing things that you can do with it. It really depends on how you show up and what you decide to do with it. But absolutely, it is the biggest vehicle that I have right now for attracting the right people who need what I have to offer or want what I have to offer or what we're creating as a community. And the most important part is consistency, showing up every single day. The second piece is knowing who you're talking to. So knowing, like I said, I tapped back into and I said, what were the painful things I was going through at that time? What were the things that I was desiring at that time? What were, you know, the struggles I was going through? What books helped me? What people helped me? What was the biggest aha moments, the game changers? And what did I do then? And it's funny, I remember being in my office like, okay, I'm doing this thing. And I took the big post-it, like, poster paper that sticks, the big ones. And like, I re-wallpapered my entire office with just ideas and mind mapping and all the things. And that's kind of how the formula of what I do now with clients came about, because I had also done courses and I have, you know, had mentors and consultants, and what were the good parts of how they helped me and what were the things I wish they didn't do. And I just, that was my opinion and what I wanted to bring out. And so when I show up on social media, I always want to make sure that, one, this is something that's going to help somebody. It's not just fluff. Yes, I show up sometimes as just myself because people need to feel like they know me, and I just come on and just be myself and talk about something I'm going through so they can connect with me in that sense, because they have to feel like they know you and they like you. They've got to kind of vibe with you or find something in common or relatable or funny or whatever your personality is that you're bringing onto social media. But for the most part, it's, is this going to actually help somebody? And if it's not, then I don't do it. Listen, I've only got like 1,500 followers on Instagram, and I've built a multi six-figure business in less than 12 months just from that. You do not have to have crazy massive amounts of followers on social media for you to be able to convert them into clients and then create impact. It doesn't have to be that way. I think Because the more you show up every single day, eventually people are going to associate you with what you're talking about. If you show up and talk about insurance every day, they might get annoyed, but they're going to think of you next time they think of insurance. You're branding yourself, and that just comes with consistency. So,
yeah. Yeah, and it sounds like you're talking also about the depth of the relationship that you have with your social media group or following, and really making sure that there's intention and authenticity and real helpful content in there. I feel like there's a school of thought that you need to be careful not to give away too much advice for free. And then people don't want to put real content on there. Can you talk a little bit about sort of your counter argument to that?
So I think the first and most important thing that you can do to differentiate yourself from everybody else is based on the value you bring to that person. And you have to give before you can expect someone to give to you, period. There are a lot of people who use my content and actually take action and get things done and never need me. And that's totally fine. I'm okay with that. There's also 97% of the rest of the people that won't do anything about it. They'll just consume and consume and consume and do nothing. I mean, that's like normal for society in general. I was at that point in my life too, where I was consuming a lot of things and not doing the things, right? Or even different aspects of your life. Like, it's taken me a long time to get to a place where I was physically healthy in what I was eating, or, you know, physically fit. And I had consumed a lot of content from people for free and never did anything with it. So I absolutely think you should give your best value out for free. There's always more people can learn from you. Not just that, if I was to take all my content and put it together, you could probably learn quite a bit of the things that I teach you and work with you on in Agency by Design, the program. But the problem is, it's not organized. It's not in order. It's not enough for you to then have that easy action to take. And you don't get the one-on-one time with me. So there is differences in between the two that I think the value is different when you're paying to have extra help and extra expertise and My Eyes in Your Business and all those things, to then just consume content on your own. The goal really is for them to consume the content, relate to it, take some action, see some results. And then they're like, if this is how great her free content is, what's it like when you pay for what she has to offer at that point? So I absolutely recommend that you show up and bring as much value as possible. In the insurance industry, we ended up, after 10 years, just really niching down into commercial, and then even different industries in commercial that we specialize in, but we do all commercial right now. And we were like, okay, how do we make ourselves different and bring value to our clients? Well, let's talk about this. Who is our client? Our client is a business owner, right? So our kind of like one brand, or one liner kind of branding tagline, whatever you want to call it, is that we work with savvy business owners that want to ensure their assets are protected from financial risks, so they can do business fearlessly. So in the insurance business, once we knew exactly who that ideal client was, we said, okay, they're business owners. What do business owners need? What do they want? They want to grow their business. So we started thinking about different ways to start teaching marketing, because who doesn't need marketing? And I feel like it's a very, you know, top level type of thing, kind of generic. Every business owner needs to think about marketing, and you can bring value and content for them to learn marketing in a way that could apply to many different businesses and industries. And so what it did was, it kind of took the stress of like, oh, she's just trying to sell me insurance, to, oh, wow, she's bringing me value. Let me take a look at what this is. And the more value they got, the more they got to feel like they know, like, and trust us. And when it was time to do insurance, they didn't want to go to anybody else, because nobody else brought them that value. Nobody else went out of their way to really care about their business and see how they can help them grow. So for us, it's really about us branding ourselves like, yes, we want to help you protect your business, but we also want to do whatever we can to help your business grow. If I see one more post, okay, everyone's going to hate that I'm going to say this, but that's okay. If I see one more post of somebody putting up, call me, I'll save you money, I'm going to throw up. Like, it's just like what everyone else is doing. And if you want to keep attracting clients that are just there to save money, and that's the only value you bring them, then you can keep doing that. But I'm challenging anyone listening to really think about, what's your brand, who's your ideal client, and then when you figure all that out, then you can show up on social media consistently and know who you're talking to, and then those 1,500 followers suddenly turn into a lot of money, right? And they turn into relationships, and they turn into business best friends, and they turn into referral partners, and they turn into this snowball that – you almost can't manage anymore. So there you go. That's my challenge for anyone listening.
Yeah, I loved that. And I love the emphasis you put on trust and on building that trust. So if you're working with someone to say, you're an entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur, entrepreneurship is really effing hard. Let's do this together a little bit. I'll build your business, you'll build my business. We'll be there for each other. We'll have each other's backs. Then that's a long-term relationship. That's not buying one policy and walking out the door and never seeing them again.
Right. And at the end of the day, that's all we want, right? We're in a business for residual income. And who wants to sell forever? Who wants to build a business where they're constantly having to sell because, you know, their clients are leaving to the other person down the street who's going to save them money? You're going to always be selling because people are going to be leaving. Your retention is going to be high, or your cancellation is going to be high and your retention is going to be low because you're just selling on price all the time. And people aren't going to build a relationship with you just because of that.
We, and I quote, focus a lot on relationship building. And I love that that's such an important central part of your strategy. I know in one of your recent podcast episodes, you discussed surrounding yourself with friends that are successful. And I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on what you meant and what that was about.
So for me personally, and obviously this is kind of a bigger topic, it can mean different things to different people, but the podcast for me was really about calling people out to stop being afraid to reach out and surround themselves with people who they may perceive as superior to them. And really trying to be around more successful people, people that are more successful than you, and not being afraid to do that. Because the more you surround yourself with more successful people, you're going to gain more success just by the proximity of being around these people, the things they're talking about, the things that they're doing. And that's the same thing that happens when you're around people who are more successful than you, but it's also the same that happens when you're around people who are maybe not doing the things you want to be doing, maybe talking different than the way you want to talk, or, you know, behaving or believing things that you don't want to be believing anymore. And it's the same thing. If you put yourself around them, it's almost going to hold you back and keep you stuck or take you backwards, where I think people just have too much of a fear to just reach out and ask somebody like, hey, I really love what you're doing. Can we go to lunch? Or, you know, is there something that they enjoy that you can maybe start tapping into and just be around them? Go to the conference, be part of the mastermind, go on the trip. I don't know, just different things. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I've paid for it. And most of the time, the ones that are doing better than you are never going to make you feel shameful for where you are. It's the ones that are doing worse than you that are judging you and trying to pull you back.
I'm sure that's going to resonate with a lot of listeners. And it resonates with me. I do also focus a bit on female leadership. And I feel like there is a real risk of holding yourself back by assuming the other people are like, don't have time for you. Or like, oh, why would they want to talk to little old me? Instead of seeing yourself at the table and imagining yourself talking to them and having them be as open as you're saying they are, right? And being more welcome than you may even realize. I just love that. I think it's really powerful. Sure. If you could go in a time machine and back and talk to a younger Cassidy, what would you tell her?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Oh man, if my therapist only heard you right now. But I think if I was going to say anything is that I would say everything's going to be okay. You just keep going and don't give up. And I mean, I say that to myself all the time. So I just got a tattoo recently. It's of a fish. Everyone keeps telling me it looks like the Jesus fish, but it's not. Anyway, and it's really just for me to remember, like, to persevere, to keep going, to just keep swimming. Yeah. The only way we fail is if we quit. And that's basically what I would tell her, because everything is okay. And hopefully it will continue being okay as long as I keep showing up and doing the best I can, even when I don't know what I'm doing. Like, that's something that I don't think people realize is most entrepreneurs don't always know what they're doing, but they show up, the successful ones. Yeah. And then they just show up again the next day, right? And they show up again and they do the best they can until they learn to do better. So That's what I would say.
That is, I think that's great advice. I know a lot of people who tell themselves similar things, and really resonates, especially when you're new in the business or in a business or starting your own. Those first couple of years, it's just one foot in front of the other.
We all do that. We all walk one foot in front of the other, right? Like, none of us skip around. I mean, that'd be really weird if people were skipping around. But all of us really do walk one foot in front of the other. It doesn't make us any different from somebody else. We all have to walk the path somehow. So, yeah, I agree.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Cassidy, for taking time out of your busy day to talk to us and our listeners. I encourage everybody who aren't already subscribed to follow your podcast. Really appreciate all of the wisdom you were able to share with us today.
Thank you so much. I love this. Hopefully we can do an episode again someday in the future.
I would love that. Thanks for listening to And I Quote, a podcast emphasizing the importance of building trustworthy relationships that can help grow your business. This podcast is brought to you by Coterie Insurance. Coterie Insurance is simplifying small business insurance through agents, brokers, and partners. If you're interested in becoming a Coterie producer or being a guest on our podcast, click the link in our show notes below. Do not forget to subscribe so you can get notified when a new episode is released. I'm Ann Boger, co-host of And I Quote. We'll see you next week.